Welcome back to the Crooked Spine Show. Looking to recover from injury or prevent injury, take sometimes the right self-education and or training with a professional to understand what you're doing wrong. Derek of Life Performance Enhancement, or LPE for short, allows you to do this. It makes your workouts efficient, so when you do train for a sport or something you have fun at, it doesn't cause injury and reduces the fear of causing injury. Derek is an expert because he has certifications nationally that proves that he can do shoulder evaluations, body evaluations, and training to help your body improve, along with his experience as an APU pitching coach and recent coaches of different teams locally, along with his results. He has teenagers who have go through growth spurts to actually improve their overall injury freeness, along with shoulder rehab for adults, along with overall programs to improve your health, and his golf academy gives these golfers an unfair advantage to take money from their friends. All right, so enjoy this quick talk, and I'll see you afterwards.
Derek, how you doing?
Good, how are you doing today, Doc? Nice to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Good, no problem. I mean, the biggest thing we talked earlier is Crooked Spine Show, as you guys know. A lot of it is going to be, how do people understand with either sports injury rehab or sports enhancement, how to do it properly? You know, my kid played baseball, went from elementary school, junior high, played some travel, played even high school too. If there's a way to make a child, maybe baseball or other sports too, even golf, a better athlete, not just better than that sport, is that important?
Oh, absolutely. I think one of the most important things is starting off with a proper assessment. So you're really going to have to know athletically where they're at in their physicality first to know where you can either where they have the possibility of even progressing secondly. So I think the assessment is absolutely key, and that's one of the things that I do here in the private facility is I have a very thorough assessment. It's an exhaustive understanding of their musculoskeletal physical makeup at this current time, and then from there it gives me a great foundation that I can build upon for their athletic performance. Yeah.
And a lot of it is going to be when you have enough information, even over-exhaust information, you can bounce around different fields, specialties, and still be able to work on this and this and this. So it's the same thing what I do too. I may be an expert in spine and chiropractic, but I can help someone with a neck problem, mid-back problem, neuropathy issue, different issues. When you have that overall scope.
It's never just one thing. Usually it's one thing working in conjunction with another ailment that's causing the root cause of their problem, and that's kind of what you're searching for as a strength coach.
That's the thing, is there something underneath that they're not going to see, or why does the injury, if there's an injury, keep happening, or why can't they get over this little hump?
Yeah, absolutely, okay. Yeah.
Let's take a step back, too. You talked earlier about, to think about a funny story, because you played, walk me through your credentials to you, you played baseball, correct?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
High school?
Yeah, I did. I played high school.
Walk me through, I'll look at the video real quick.
Okay, no problem. Yeah, so I played at Azusa Pacific University. I was fortunate enough to play there and graduate from there. I acquired a bachelor's degree in physical education while attending there. It was an awesome experience. I love that school. And then after a short break, I was actually asked to come back and coach there.
Wow.
So I coached at the university for 5 years. I was a strength conditioning coach, and then I oversaw the pitching staff for 2 years too, and that was a great experience. We got to go to the World Series twice.
Jeez.
Yeah, we achieved.
What year was that?
That was 2007 and 2008.
Okay.
Yeah, I was overseeing the pitching staff in 2008 and 2009.
Wow.
And awesome experience. We had the number one ranked team in the country. We got to go there as the number one seed 1 year, number two seed the second year. Just a great experience as a coach and as a strength coach, especially because one of the things I really had to learn was how to manage athletes emotionally, nutritionally, and physically. And I had to do that over the course of a year, and in conjunction with travel, figuring out how to have that, learn how to teach the athletes how to eat on the road, provide for them adequate nutrition. You know, I had to go inside and talk to the restaurants, letting them know what we had coming in. A lot of times I had to personally create meals for the athletes and stuff like that before we arrived and that kind of thing. So great experience. Worked out very well for business communicatively, and you know, I was just really thankful for that. Yeah.
Well, that experience you've obviously brought here too. When you're working there, did you realize you'd do something like this?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. During the time of working at the university, I began to grow the business. And I grew it while coaching there. And then after a few years of that, I eventually moved into here.
Great. And working with especially pitchers, what was your expertise at that point, and have you grown it with shoulder injuries, elbow injuries, things like that?
Yeah, having been a pitcher myself, you know, I have great personal experience with the movement. And so I then took that academically and began to study human movement that involves rotation of the spine and the shoulder joint. And so I put a lot of emphasis into the overhand throwing movement. So there was a lot of study on baseball pitchers per se, and then also like, you know, tennis and golfing especially.
Okay.
And so during that time, I gained, like, you know, as to the max of my ability, an exhaustive understanding of the shoulder.
Is that more a home study, more school study?
I took multiple certification courses on the shoulder, and then I continued education as well through different certifying agencies that had specificity in that one area of the body.
And you could basically, by understanding that the mechanics, how did you roll from a coach, strength and conditioning coach at APU, to private practice? How did clients come to you?
Being involved in the community with the youth as a coach at the youth level, the high school level, and at the college level, and then with those type of credentials, then that's when the professional athletes began to come over. So I'd work with guys that were in the minor leagues en route to the big leagues, and I was fortunate enough to work with some guys that made it all the way to the major leagues and then got a little bit of opportunity to work with them while they were there as well.
Awesome. And going back to working at APU when you first started, you mentioned really working on the overall athlete, maybe emotional, physical. What's the emotional side of an athlete looking at, if someone's looking at this video and going, okay, my kid's in sports or I'm in sports, I've had some injuries, I want to get to the next level, what do I have to do? What's the mental side of it?
Oh, mentally, oh geez. Well, I mean, emotional management is key as a coach, you know. You really have to understand what's going on inside of the player's mind in order to coach him psychologically.
So
there's a great amount of communication and dialogue that has to take place on an everyday basis. So the longer you're a coach, the better you get at essentially probing the athlete's mind and finding out what is their absolute central focus of motivation and what are their greatest fears and where are they at right now, where are they worried, because there's a lot of worry that accompanies athletics because it's so much emphasis on performance. And so if they're worried, it's going to have a negative impact on their performance. You have to figure out the origin of that worry and bring truth into their head.
Okay. And how do you do that normally? Say, for example, give me a good example of say, a pitcher, hey, I'm going through a slump right now. I just don't know how to get out of it.
Oh, man. Well, again, you have to find the root cause of what it is, I believe, first mentally.
What's a common cause? I have no idea what it would be.
Yeah, right. Well, typically a guy's going to have worry in locating the ball in the strike zone like that. So he's going to have a fear that his mechanics aren't going to be there for him or something like that. And then you have to go to a physical kind of assessment per se of what he's feeling in his body. Okay. And then as the coach, you know, one, you have to have understanding of the pitching movement, right? Then you have to have understanding of how that applies to this individual pitcher's mechanics, because each pitcher throws the ball differently.
Well, their bodies would be different than everybody else.
Oh,
everyone's different.
Yeah, they're all different. How they use themselves to complete the throw, that is completely different. So each guy requires of you an understanding of his mind and of his body and how those two things correlate together. So you have to manage them. You also have to coach each one of those things, like from a skill perspective, like there's specific ways that this guy throws the ball as compared to this guy, and you have to speak to each one differently. So, when you're working with a person, let's say you're teaching them how to perform like a squat, right?
Okay, yes.
There's different cue words that you're going to use to put into their brain because you know the response the body's going to get from that thought.
Yes.
It's the same thing when you're working with a pitcher, but you have to know that individually for every single guy on the staff. So I have to keep a book of all every single one of these guys. So you got 15 different files per se of each person. Every time you make a trip to the mound, you have to pull out that file in your mind and speak to them from that position.
So that's when they go to the mound. They go, okay, what do they waste so much time for? They're getting in their head, and is it going from not anxiety per se, but more a lack of confidence to build that confidence up again?
Usually, it's absolutely. There is a confidence thing involved there, but it's like a forgetting. It's like they forget what it is that they need to do to make themselves successful either mentally or physically, and that's when the coach steps in and he reminds them of what he's been teaching them, that the cue word that they need to tell themselves physically, like he needs to keep his his head in line with his glove, or the separation of his hands need to occur at this point in time in his delivery. So that gets the rhythm and his timing back on track, and then right away when they get this feeling back in their body, they'll gravitate towards that feeling, and then they'll be able to repeat that movement pattern over and over, and that's when the control comes back in on the mound, and right away the confidence will return. Yeah,
that's a huge part. Yeah. And so you're almost working through mechanics, getting them to feel something or think of something first, feel that in their delivery, and at that point they see that confidence back, boom, they're back on track.
Yeah, generally speaking, that's a real easy way for people to understand that. You can go way deeper in that into the kinesthetics.
That's so crazy. It's for the layperson or myself too, at the same
time. It's fine, yeah, sure.
Good. And we're dealing with someone who is a pitcher, for example, or someone who throws maybe baseball, softball, whatever it is, or other sports too. What do you work with, especially with, say, go to youths first, youths or young adults? How do you work the shoulder? What do you do when you look at an assessment and recovery? Walk me through that visually so they can hear it on the podcast.
Oh, absolutely. Every client that trains here, whether they're an athlete or not, they all receive an orthopedic evaluation of the shoulder. So the first thing you're going to have to go through when you evaluate the shoulder orthopedically is you need to test range of motion. So there needs to be an evaluation of internal and external rotation regarding to the shoulder. And then also a very fancy word called kinematics, and that's just how the shoulder functions. And we want to see how the shoulder blade moves along the rib cage through different patterns when the humerus, the upper arm bone, is moved through different planes of motion. And then I assess that plane, that movement pattern, and I'm searching for an optimal pattern.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is kinematics the same as biomechanics? Or is that different? You know more.
It's similar. It's just like how God designed our bodies to move in a specific way, and He wanted it to function in this very way when He created that. And we have found out there is an optimal way for our bones to be moved by our muscles. Through these different patterns, and that yields the most optimal function from that muscle within that joint area. And then from there, we're able to kind of determine whether something is optimal or it's less optimal or it's completely dysfunctional. And then we can take them through the arthrokinematics, or the reconnecting of that proper movement pattern through the brain. And a lot of the times that's done manually.
How does that work from a neurological, chemical sense?
Well, neurological, you want to think of it like this. Here's the way I usually explain it to a person. You know when you go into the bathroom in the morning and it's dim and it's dark in there and you don't want the light to be too bright, so you just turn that little dial on just a little bit enough that you can see, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people, the way at different joints in our body, the way that we function is in that dim light setting. We're not functioning optimally. And what I do here is I go through the whole body exhaustively and I find out every single area in your body where you are functioning in a less optimal way, and I turn that dial up for them, man,
awesome.
And get that thing to function properly.
And when that happens, how does the nerves go back? I've done this before, some of the videos, so I wanted to hear this again from someone else talking to myself, is how does those nerves go back to the brain and reset everything?
Boy, you know, to explain that is a challenge.
Layman's term.
I would say, think of it like you had, like if you had, you're like on our hands.
Okay.
If we got five fingers to use to do all these different things with, but what if out of these five fingers that only two of them worked? You only had these two to work. So what you do is you would go back and you would reprogram the brain's ability to use each one of these fingers again, so that you can have an optimal function from the hand. Now, how you do that is determined by the individual person's current state of neurological connection with that.
And the assessment.
The assessment just makes it very evident. It's very easy to notice that. And then the approach that's taken to reconnect the brain's ability to use the muscles is different with every single person. I like an isometric or a stabilizing muscle recruitment first, and then because it usually get the greatest amount of neurological response. So making people, you know, hold and squeeze things, and the brain just sending that signal over and over and over for that one function, and then releasing it and repeating that through different muscle functions. Yeah.
And when someone may have an issue with that, what kind of sign or symptoms would they show? In the field or at home or working out, what would they kind of present us?
Oh, usually there's a pain or inflammation.
Okay.
Yeah, the inflammation of the tendons in your body usually is because there's an overuse there. Now, overuse usually stems from something not working optimally.
We had mentioned too, if I'm just using these two fingers, I'm going to get exhausted. If what I want to do is use my whole hand.
Absolutely.
So if these are getting exhausted, you're going to cause maybe a carpal tunnel or wrist injury or a hand sprain or an elbow or shoulder sprain.
Yeah, to an area that's doing more work than it was created to do. Exactly. That's why there's the other digits on the hand per se to be able to be used with those other ones in conjunction to help make things easier and more efficient. Right, but without them, you're going to end up using that tendon so much it's going to get inflamed. You know, it's the same thing in the shoulder. The biceps tendon gets irritated all the time in the overhand thrower. You know, and that's because the muscles in the posterior, the upper back shoulder, the trapezius, the rhomboids, the rotator cuff's ability to stabilize the bone in there, which is the primary function of the rotator cuff stabilization. Anyways, they're not functioning optimally. So you have to go through the checklist and figure out where are they functioning well, where are they not functioning well, and then from there you can just enhance where they're deficient, and then everything kind of comes together.
So you balance everything out for one too. With a child, meaning someone that's playing, say, travel baseball, or club soccer, or even on a travel golf team or basketball team too, they're growing from, say, 10, 12 years old, and want to become a better athlete. Does their growth affect their ability to, if there's a way to say it, change their mechanics? So they may have been great at 12 mechanics at 12 years old, but at 17, 18, their body has changed and they have the same mechanics. Does that cause injuries too?
Yeah, it can. Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean,
I make stuff in my head all the time. Sorry.
Continuous reevaluation of the athlete is of the utmost importance, especially from the ages of 9 to 12, where there's major growth occurs in the young man. You have to make sure it's going to be very evident where they are losing coordination. And then as a strength coach, you need to train those areas of coordination. So if all of a sudden their feet grow two shoe sizes, right, you need to move it back in and make sure all the muscles in the feet are connected and working well, you know, which sounds crazy, but it's very important for athletic performance. And then you will go back in and work their agility. You retest their agility and see, you know, their brain's going to have to learn how to use this new size of extremity on there, and so you're going to have to retrain the brain's ability, even through maybe simple movement patterns that they previously had mastered. You're going to have to retrain and see if they're really doing it as efficiently as they did once before. If not, you need to train that and then enhance that again as well. Yeah,
and like you mentioned earlier, if that may that foot growth may cause other injuries with the ankle or the knee,
it could.
And how do you, by doing the assessments? Okay, I had a growth spurt as a parent, for example.
Yeah.
My kid had a growth spurt. He changed his pants are no longer down to his ankle. Now they're capris up to his knee. I better get him checked out. Is that the goal, or is it we're waiting until an injury happens? Hey, there's a problem here. Get him checked out.
Yeah. When as soon as the performance in any way begins to turn negative, that's when you can throw that red flag up there. And the athletes are always going to begin to talk about some type of irritation.
Okay.
There's going to be some type of pain there. There may be an inflammation in an area or
swelling.
Yeah, swelling, redness, something like that. Where they're going to say, "Hey, mom, you know my neck's been hurting me really," and they haven't talked about their neck their whole life, right?
And they're fine. And as a parent, you go, "What's this? This has never happened before."
Yeah, exactly. That's when you would just bring them in and you want to just ensure that things are going well. And a lot of the times parents, I think, will be fearful of that because they'll think it's going to be this big, long, drawn-out process, right? And that's not the case. Usually through growth spurts and stuff like that, it's short, intermittent periods of time that training is needed, and then you can send them back on their way again to enjoy their sport or activity.
And that's the fear is, okay, do I take my kid out for a season? Is it going to be a long process? So by getting the assessment done, just the assessment, it takes away that anxiety. Now I know what to do. Now I know what I can do, my options are, because it's not a bad injury. It's more of a muscle strain. He has to re-coordinate things, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
It's not something yet. But if you wait long enough, then you build up scar tissue. Then you cause long-term problems.
Yeah.
Now the whole body's, if feet are growing and it's affected the ankle and knee, and now the body's adjusted to that, I'm assuming, now you start having the overall body compensating versus retraining at that early point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with everything. Yeah, that's great.
I don't know. I just mixed up in my head again.
Great comment.
And the biggest, and being, again, a parent of athletes and understanding that is we spend a lot of money on travel ball, club, everything. Okay, so when we do that, we want to see the best benefit. If our kid's not playing, is it a detriment to have them come in and get them assessed, treated? At that point, I say no, because you're getting them to become a better athlete down the line. I remember some places, I think in Rancho, somewhere else, were talking about, hey, have your kid take a one season off of that sport, get trained, get their coordination back, and then go back out there. Mm-hmm. Looking back at it now, it might not have been a bad idea, because you're getting the kid who's maybe 12, 13 years old, 14 years old, before high school, before they have to really perform to become that better athlete and mechanically and structurally, so they can grow into the bike, can get stronger and compete with kids that are maybe 2-3 years older than them versus when they're in their own age group.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, I think that it's parents, a lot of times, to be honest with you, they overdo it.
Yeah.
I think they really do. They overdo it. And I think they try to do too much of everything instead of just enough of everything.
Why do you think that is? What's the mentality of the psychology of the parent?
It's fear. I think the parent is afraid that if they don't do all these things exactly, you know, to the absolute max, then their kid's not going to have the greatest opportunity. And that's not the case at all. You know, I was the type of kid that I played all the sports growing up, basketball, flags, you know, baseball, swimming, all of the ones that you play as a kid. Every season, you know, you switch over to the next sport. Yeah. That's what I think you should do as a young parent. In Southern California, it's so easy to get very specified in a sport, especially the sport of baseball, because of our weather.
Yes.
And because it is very competitive here, because of the amount of people that live here. So there is a lot of good young baseball players. So parents are always coming in here. I have clients right now that are 7 years old, and their parents are paying me, because I was a university strength and conditioning coach.
Yes.
They want the best, and they want it right now, and they want their kid to be, when he's 15, to be, you know, phenomenal. Now, I agree with all that, but I also think, I coach him up, you know, with the young kid who's a very impressive young kid, Dylan, who I've been working with, 11 years old, phenomenal young athlete.
Yes.
Okay, one of the best young athletes.
Baseball.
He's a multi-sport kid.
Got
best young athlete I've ever trained in 14 years as a strength coach, okay? Phenomenal athlete. I remember speaking with his family and saying, this is the right time for this, but it's one day a week. You only need to bring your son in here one day a week, and that is it. And then let him go play hockey and do his weekend runs with mom and just have fun. But that's all that he needs. And I told him, what you're doing right now is that you're training your son, you're athletically developing your son for when he is 14 and 15 years old, when he's in high school. And it's the developmental stuff that takes place all the way up to there. But I encourage them to not have their son train more than one day a week.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Because once you get to high school, what happens to working out with mom and dad at home, maybe the kids in the park? What happens when you go from, say, junior high to high school? What happens to that athlete? Say they're a baseball player, football, whatever it is. What changes?
Well, puberty is a big deal, you know, in their early teens, right there in the beginning. And so depending on where they're at in that state of their physical development, then it's going to dictate a lot of what they can and can't do when they're 15 years old, you know what I'm saying? So the more mature kid, he's trained, in my opinion, a little bit differently, but there's the same emphasis is put on his training. So he's still going to be training for strength, power, speed, agility, movement, quality, all the different facets that there are that you train the human body to perform at. But his maturity level may dictate how I manage and handle him. From another athlete, absolutely.
Yeah. And what I get too is that I get kids that, for example, in probably August, July, even in the summer too, they're pushed into a freshman football camp.
Oh, sure, yeah.
This is baseball season. I'll have all these kids work out together from freshman through junior, senior, and see who's the best. So, and my concern is they go to the weight room and they have no idea what to do.
Oh, yeah. Sports specificity is huge. You absolutely have to know how to train specifically for the sport. And I'll be candid with everybody watching. There's a lot of bad trainers out there. There's a lot of uninformed, bad coaches who are going to do negative things to your sons or daughter because they themselves have not chosen to educate themselves, apply the information to their own body to the max of their own ability. You should never stop educating yourself. You should never stop pursuing knowledge. That's a very foolish decision. Especially as a coach, you have a responsibility when you're working with a body, just like yourself, man. When you're working with, there's a huge responsibility as a chiropractor.
I'm liable too.
Oh, absolutely.
Sue me all you want.
We put so much trust into you, and I know when people come in here to me, they basically just hand themselves over. They're like, "Hey, Derek, you know, make me skinny or make me faster." And so I have a great responsibility there, you know. So managing people and knowing, again, it goes back to the assessment, really knowing and not assuming everything. and what it is that you have to do to build up themselves and create essentially a foundation of strength in their body that's built upon rock and it's not built upon sand, and that you can stack things on top of and continue to build and build and build a better athlete or a more healthy person for a general fitness client or something like that.
Well, and that's the thing too, is when, and go back to high school kids too, as a parent, as a high school parent, I think I have 4 or 5 kids, I don't know. But a lot is going to be, how do I go? My kid wants to play football, wants to play baseball. He's done some travel. He's played probably maybe some Pop Warner, whatever it is, too. Is he ready for it? Every parent's question is my ready for contact sports in high school because of concussion issues, because of things like that, too? How do I make sure my son's not going to get hurt? That's the key. So going to the weight room, what you do here, in my sense, is get an assessment first. Because I want to know, does my son have a weakness somewhere in his body that he can actually build up either at the gym at school or with Derek? At that point, his foundation, like you mentioned a second, is better, so he doesn't have injury on the field. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have problems where people come in post-concussion syndrome, burning down the arm from stingers and burns from playing football especially.
Yeah.
And it could have been avoided if they had seen the issue before, 3 weeks before, they got banged up in practice. They were a little bit dizzy. They were fine once the next day.
Yeah.
So at that point, they got pushed in the field. The second injury is what usually causes 2-3 times the damage, the symptoms.
Yeah.
So getting assessed initially, okay, I have a problem with my shoulder, my knee. At that point, I'm going to work through it myself. Maybe not. Especially if you're lifting weights and loading it, you can cause problems not only in this, but here in the elbow or even the neck and the upper back.
Yeah.
So why take the risk of causing more injury versus benefit getting assessed and checked out? So do it the right way. And when you go to the gym say with your buddies, hey, let's do it this way, this is a good form technique. I may not lift as much as the lineman because I'm a receiver, but I want to do it the right way for my body, for what I need.
Yeah, I agree.
They kind of give you the...
I agree 100% with that. Okay. Absolutely, yeah.
And I think the key is a lot of when I talk about this interview with you is I want parents to see not only the kids, I want to make sure my kids are healthy, strong, not just for sports, but for overall life.
Mm-hmm.
I see so many kids that come out of high school and they're beat up from playing football or baseball or other contact sports, especially even other things, too, soccer, and that injury now has gone 4 or 5 years without being treated. Now they cause more long-term chronic problems. Mm-hmm. And by getting assessed initially, you're saving yourself that time, effort, and health conditions so you don't have those problems, I think.
Yeah, it's usually, most things that when they come in here, they're all correctable. Just the identification of them first, you know. And again, it goes back to you having an assessment that has a great enough quality to identify the root cause
of
the problem and finding that root cause and then working your way out from there, which, you know, is more, usually it's more neurological, and then from there you kind of manifest into the superficial muscle.
And with that too, and with, like I was talking about earlier, if someone comes in, say they had an injury on a Saturday coming in on a Monday, is that a better... easier client to work with than someone who had injury 2 months ago, now they're fine coming in because now they have other problems too? Kind of repeating, kind of leading the witness there, but...
I think it's kind of 50-50.
Okay, good.
One. Yeah, it depends on the injury.
Got it.
Yeah, that's the best way I can answer that question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good, good. What else do you want people to understand about what you do or answer some questions that are commonly... people come in with?
Well, I want people to know that when they come to Life Performance, that they're coming to a place that they're going to receive an absolute high quality of service.
Good.
I mean, I manage every single client individually, and I'm here for you to give you exactly what you need as an individual or your family needs, and that's that you're going to receive a higher end service that is of greater quality. And this is a safe place. This is a place where people can come. They can be comfortable in here. There's no pressure in here. There's no. It's not an intimidating environment or anything like that. This is a very professional, science-oriented approach to dealing with the
body.
That's
why I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, dealing with the body from there. So there is, you know, there is. An emphasis always on attention to detail and continual progression. The LPE Body Optimization Program, which is a program that I created,
fantastic,
takes the body from wherever the assessment shows that it is, and we take that, we're going to go through a correctional period with most people, and once that's ready, then I take you and I plug you into the formula.
Great.
And I created this phenomenal formula that takes the body in every single function of our bodies, and it progresses it month after month after month, and there's about 6 levels that a person can go through. And I challenge anybody to make it through any one of those levels in less than 2 years.
Wow.
I mean, I used my own body to create that, and that took years to figure that out and how to create a hierarchy and a continuum for different difficulty levels of exercises. And I've been training clients for the same clients for over 10 years, and newer clients are coming in now, and they're at that 2 and 3 year mark, and they're just loving the results and the continual progression that they have. And they're going to be trained on multiple facets of their physicality. So it's not just aesthetics, okay? It's not just about what it looked like, but it's how I function internally, inside, and as well as my muscle function. And that doesn't mean we leave out the aesthetics. So I know the aesthetics are important. It's a big part of my job, and I deal with it every single day. Yeah. And I understand
that. But that's a result of everything going inside first. You said the root of the problem first.
Oh, man, I couldn't have said it any better myself right there, yeah.
And we'll talk about results, too. Walk me through a quick client example of having had this result. What is that result usually?
Well, usually it's a combination of multiple things. So I try to get all the way down to the cellular level with the client. So I use different supplements like that to go inside and work on the cells and improve their ability to function, to reproduce, and that kind of thing. And that's where we're going to get... We're going to get great sleep quality from there. And then we go through, we do this whole life organizational methods for success that I created while coaching at APU.
That's awesome.
So kids need to learn how to better manage their time in order to achieve nutritional goals as well as physical goals. So I take clients through what I call a life inventory. And from there, we figure out where things aren't functioning too well in their life, that referring to their schedule or their decision-making.
We're talking about high school kids, college kids?
Every single client that takes
part. Adults.
Even adults. Yeah. Especially the business professional.
Yeah.
So good at their job, not always good at taking care of their bodies.
Their time is just, their stress level might be high.
Yes.
Hint. But it will allow things, okay, how do I juggle things so I'll still get my result, but I may suffer over here.
This program is going to create a black and white scenario. It's going to tell you where you are having a success in your life and where you're not having success in your life.
Wow.
And because from all these, from working with people now for 14 years, it's more than just a physical problem. And so what you have to do is you have to find the root cause of the physical problem, yes, but also the reason why they're walking in the door.
Yep.
So if you're 50, if you're like 30 pounds overweight and you're like, man, I need to lose some weight, you know, there is a cause that is outside of your ability to show up to the gym that is causing that problem. And usually it's somewhere in their life. And this life inventory makes that evident. And I have a great resource of people that can help out other people psychologically.
I
handle the physical part. There's also a spiritual component if clients want to participate in that.
Yeah.
And we bring that in there. And we get the whole person, like your whole being, right, functioning better.
And a lot of it is when you're having outside stressors or internal stressors because of improper nutrition or psychological stress too, your body chemistry changes, causing a chemical reaction in your body and a hormone change too, so your stress hormones increase. Mm-hmm. If that happens, then your body can't function at a high level. We're talking about the spiritual, psychological, and physical.
Yeah.
You're getting everything to work at a better level, so your body hormones especially, they change so your body can function at a high level.
Yeah.
And maintain that to get the results you want, physically, psychologically, everything.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Especially.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
it's
a science behind it. That's why this program is based on science. So that back end is how it works to get the result you want.
Yeah.
You have to understand the underneath, like you had mentioned, the details to get someone to go where they are and get them to where they need to be to get the result they want.
And that's where we go back again to that assessment I keep hammering on.
That's awesome.
But it's like you have to know where you're at right now in order to get where you want to go, just like you just said. And the road in between there is where the professional help and guidance can come in. And that's why I created that program, was to bridge that gap and to give people a true avenue to get where they want to go.
And I think a lot of it, once you have that down, you can have a good way to reassess yourself too. Hey, I'm falling off of here. I'm falling off of here.
Oh, yeah.
Once you learn it, I'm assuming that when you have a good way to reassess yourself and come and talk to you. Hey, look, I think I'm falling off of here. Is this right, wrong, or what's going on?
Yeah, I keep very close tabs on all the clients and all these different facets. And every 3 months, the clients are reassessed physically. They go through a portion of the examination that I feel professionally I need to reevaluate to see where they're at. And we keep moving.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Anything else to add so far in our first interview? Because we'll be many more.
Oh, I hope so. Well, I'm just really thankful to take part in this. You know, I just want to let the community know that they have a resource. They can receive professional guidance, help, and instruction that's of the utmost highest caliber. And, you know, I'm just here to serve the community.
One more thing, too, before I end it. I like the golf. I'm not very good. But what do you do with golfers? What's the golfer say? Let's walk through quick. Physical, psychological, and spiritual. Oh. How do you walk through them? Where do they usually come in? Yeah. What's a common story? And how do you get them to an endpoint?
Oh, man.
Personal preference.
I created the LPE Golf Performance Academy program.
Yeah, okay.
And what I did was I analyzed every single joint in the body and what needs to occur optimally in that joint during the golf swing.
Okay.
In order for the body to be in a state that it can then perform the swing to the optimally, I would say. So I get that body ready to function.
Okay.
And I work in correlation with swing coaches who are golf professionals.
Yes.
And they handle the technique side of things where I work with the body. So I get that body ready to perform, and they get that skill working.
So you get the repetitive mechanics down once the joints are working properly where they need to be.
Most guys come in, they got a slice, right? Man, I got a slice, you know?
Hook, everything.
There is a reason in the body that they got that slice. And it's not always a skill thing. Usually there is something going on inside of there with their spine, and they have an inability to rotate, let's say, a segment of their spine in a specific way. I can identify that, correct that, and then get that swing path going, working with the swing coach. Yeah.
Good. And once you do that, like you said, mentioned with pitchers before too, giving them that key word, giving them something to think about, does that help them kind of maintain, especially on the course playing for 4 hours?
It's very similar.
That's great.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's where the coach and I work together. I'm in communication with the coach, and he's letting me know where the ball flight or the swing flaws are occurring, and then I can re-examine their body and really make sure that I'm doing everything I can to correct that area, make that area stronger, more flexible, more mobile, that type of thing, yeah.
So at that point, when someone comes in here, they're giving them an unfair advantage. Once they get back to their buddies, they want some more money back.
That's right, yeah. They can. Their pockets will get fatter and their buddies will get smaller.
Dang it. And that's the thing. I think a lot of it is when I look at the overall video we shot today is making sure, okay, if you think you're a good athlete, come in for assessment, maybe you can do a little bit more. Okay. And when I mean more, can you have better results with less work? If your body's working at its best potential, it may not take as much effort. You might be worn out after, if you play, for example, softball. I have a patient who goes pitch Vermont. She may have 7 games in 1 weekend.
Wow.
So by the 7th game, are you exhausted? If you're having to compensate and overwork your body, yes. If you have good efficiency, I'm assuming you're not going to be as tired as someone who doesn't have that. Okay. Or someone who plays baseball may have to have 3 games on a Saturday and then another 3 games on a Sunday.
Yeah.
It'll be exhausted if they haven't maintained or understand the psychological, physical, and spiritual part of being an athlete. So like you mentioned, in having those 2 years, 2008, 2009?
I was there at the university for 5 years, but I was on the field every day for 3 years.
Perfect. So having that daily, all day long, okay, what are they going to eat? How's their rest? How's their sleep? How's their repair? How's their warm-up? That got them the result. So being a parent, I want my athletes, my patients, and also my kids to have that endurance so they know what to do. And having Derek tell them, don't listen to me because I'm a parent. Listen to him more and maybe his coach more how to do it properly.
Right.
That's my takeaway from this overall video. So that's the biggest thing. Watch the video again if you want to. We'll add some links to Derek's information, his contact information here. He's going to get more on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and everything else too. So you'll see more videos once you like his page and also go to it and follow him about his clients here, how he works with golfers, baseball players, soccer players, softball players, anybody. That point, getting a better person, better athlete, spiritually, physically, and overall getting healthy. All right. Anything else from the first episode?
Man. Can't thank you enough for having me.
You're welcome, great. Derek.
Hope this talk with Derek gives you the confidence that going through his program will make you a better athlete or even your children. Okay, understand he is a very deep-hearted Christian along with Family Man, so I would trust him with my kids to help train them even if I wasn't there. All right, so I hope you enjoyed this talk and understand that the mindset of being an athlete or as an adult, a hobbyist in sports sometimes allows you to de-stress your body, keep your body healthy from the inside out, so overall you do not get these health conditions that people have from sedentary lifestyles. I hope you enjoyed this talk again, and I hope you go to our Facebook, leave comments from this overall podcast, watch the full video, or watch other videos from the interviews and workshops you've done for this podcast. And again, if you feel so inclined, please leave an iTunes review. That'll put other people to see this who don't know what we do and enjoy a better sense of health. Have a great day, and we'll see you in the next one.